Tonight, I know we've been going through, just started into 2 Corinthians, went through 1 Corinthians, started 2 Corinthians last week, but I couldn't go there this week. We are going to be in Psalm 34 tonight. It's just one of those things sometimes when you study something and you write it and you go through all the commentaries and you're taking notes, sometimes it just feels like you're taking notes. And other times when you are on a passage that you just know God has something for you and you begin to study and you begin to write and you just begin to know this is where I need to be. And so that's where we're at tonight. So let's open with a blessing on the Word of God. Father God, as we open Your Word and as we come to this passage, we know, Lord, that it is from You, and we praise You, Father, for the opportunity to read it, to look over it, and to see what You have for us. May You be glorified, may You be honored, may You be praised in all that takes place in us. In Your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, we're going to be in Psalm 34. This psalm is a psalm that's a parallel to Psalm 25, but it takes place, King David, back when he was running from Saul, he was caught in a pickle. He was before Abimelech, which is actually the formal title, like Pharaoh was the title for the king of Egypt. Abimelech is the title for the king at that point, the king of Gath, and it was actually Achish was his personal name. And so there are people out there that want to say, oh, the Bible's got a mistake in it because it says Abimelech one time and it says Achish the other time. Well, that's the explanation for that. And they're going to just have to try to keep finding things that are wrong with the Bible because there's not any. And so we are talking about this psalm, and David is running for his life from, has just been running from his life for Saul at this point when he writes this psalm. And there was a time, and it was in 1 Samuel chapter 21, that David comes to the king of Gath, and if you remember right, he's not real popular there because he had killed this big guy from there. And so he wasn't real popular, and he just thought Achish was going to want to kill him, so he begins to act mad. He begins to act insane and let drool run down through his beard and just go crazy and look insane. And so because of that, Achish says, hey, I don't need anybody that's insane around me. So he sends him out. And so he is able to be spared for that case. And he realizes right after that, and he writes down this psalm. And so we're going to look at this psalm tonight and see what God has for us. Starts in verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Those first three verses are a beginning of a praise as David starts off praising God. But as we look at that, I want us to understand some of the things that he says as he looks into this. Because it is that thanksgiving and praise for him, for God delivering him, for God always being with him. But I want us to make it personal tonight. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. He is at a point where he's running for his life. Things are not good. He is at a point where he's having to pretend to be insane in front of his men that were following him. He is at a point, a low point, where he is scared for his life. But he says, I'll bless the Lord then too. And so when you and I are going through tough times in our life, I'm pretty sure nobody has had a contract out on your life. If you do, we need to talk. But I'm pretty sure nobody here has had that contract put out on their life. I'm pretty sure nobody here has to pretend like they're insane to go on with life, to get into a better situation. We've not been there. But when we find those times in our life when it seems like things just aren't going well, we don't even bless God then. David is saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord even when things are bad. Now, sometimes when things are bad and I get over those things, then I praise God. That's easy. That's a lot simpler for me to do, to wait until those things are over. Well, once God gets me out, then I will bless the Lord. But that's not the case. We are to bless the Lord at all times. That means before, that means during, and that means after those bad times. We have to understand that it's not just after the bad times. When we have hindsight, we look back and we see that God has delivered us from those times, then I'll bless Him. That's easy. That's when we all do it. But He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And I thought about that as something that we need to, like I said, we praise Him, we bless Him when we get through a situation. We need to be at a point where we praise Him continually. And for us to do that, it has to be a conscious deliverance of praise, to make a conscious effort continually to be in our mouth. That's what David is saying. I will consciously look for a reason to praise my God. When I'm going through a bad time, when I've come through a bad time, then yeah, I've got something to focus on. When I'm going through a bad time, I've got something to praise God for. We need to consciously make an effort to praise God continually in our life. And so what that means is when I don't have a bad situation I'm going through, or I've just come through, or I see one ahead of me, I need to be looking for a reason to praise my God, because they're out there. Too many times we look back to praise, or we look ahead and we pray for blessings. We need to look around and praise for the things that we don't notice. Because that's, David said, his praise will continually be in my mouth. I'm going to look for a reason to praise God every day. It's going to change our life if we will do that. If we will praise God continually, His praise will always be in my mouth. One, that's going to change my thought pattern. It's going to change my heart. But what's it going to do to the people around me? Now I can have the attitude of praise, and I can have the attitude of blessing, and that may never affect Ken. But if I'm constantly, the praise of God is in my mouth, Ken's going to either acknowledge it or get sick of it. But either way, Ken's going to hear it. Does that make sense? And that's what, when he says his praise will continually be in my mouth, that means I'm going to speak those praises and those blessings of my God. He says, my soul shall make it boast in the Lord. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Now, I'm just going to compare this. Now, I'm not there yet, and so I'm going to pick on some of you. I'm waiting for the day that I'm there. I'm waiting. Grandkids. I have heard some of you, and I love it, I have heard some of you boast on your grandkids, and it's 100% true. It's 100% true. We will boast on our kids. We will boast on our grandkids. And they can do basically something so simple, and to us, it is amazing. You got to know what my kid just did, what my grandkid just did, and we brag about it. That's how we ought to be about our God. We ought to be boasting and bragging about our God. My soul should just burst. I mean, when I see Ken talk about his grandkids, he begins to tear up. And that is the best thing in the world. I love it. I love it. Because it just shows me how much he loves him. His soul is just bursting at his grandkids, at the joy of his grandkids. I hope my kids are listening to this sermon tonight. Yeah. But that's the way our soul should be. It should just be bursting for the opportunity to brag and boast about our God. But we'll come in on Sunday night and we'll have praise time. Or we'll sing some praises on Sunday morning. We will tell of praises on Wednesday night. But man, who needs to hear that? Not the people. Yes, the people that come in here need to hear it too. But those people that we work with, those people that we're active with in our daily life, that we're doing life with, they need to hear about how much I want to brag about my God. Because that's what He means to me. David is saying, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. And when that happens, the humble shall hear of it and be glad. That humble, that word is not always defined in the way that we understand it. Sometimes it's an understanding of more of a poor in spirit. And it's understood that he's saying, those people that don't know God. That's maybe a better way to define that humble. Those people that don't know about God. They have nothing to boast about. They have nothing to praise about. They have no reason to bless God because they don't understand. They are poor in spirit. They shall hear of my boasting, of my praising, and of the blessings of the Lord. And maybe they will be glad because there's hope for them. That's where we're supposed to be. Like I said this morning, there's a lot of people here, but there were a lot of people that weren't here. And the only Jesus they're going to see, the only Bible they're going to read, you've heard that before, you're the only Jesus some will ever see. You're the Bible that some people are going to read. David was that here. As he blessed, as he praised, as he boasted in the Lord, people have the opportunity to see. And in order to be glad, you have to know God. And so if they will get to hear us, maybe then when they hear of it, they'll be glad. Verse 3, I love this. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. You probably can think of a person in your life that, one comes to my mind that anytime you talk to him, he was just praising God. It was always something God was doing, something God had just done, or something God was about to do. And he was just praising God. And he was one man going around doing that. When we were in college, I had a guy that he'd walk around campus, and we called him Hallelujah Bob. Because, how you doing? Hallelujah, it's a great day. And no matter what his day was like, he was praising God. And he loved it because every word, every sentence he had, every conversation you ever had with this guy, hallelujah, praise the Lord, was going to be in that conversation. But it seemed like he was the only one doing it. David says here, it's an invitation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. When you magnify something, you have that, you think of that magnifying glass, and a lot of times people don't use those anymore. We just get stronger glasses. But I've still got one in my desk drawer. But you've got this magnifying glass for what reason? So that it brings everything out on the page, the letters, the color, everything is magnified so I can see it better. And magnify the Lord with me. Let's magnify the Lord together. Let's put it where people in this town can see Him better because of Him being in our life. Magnify the Lord with me is what David is saying. He's telling the people around him. He's not satisfied with his blessings and his praise and his boasting. He says, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt. Let us lift up His name together. Let's make sure that everybody is lifting up God's name together. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, and He's talking about the way He died. But He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He said that in reference that when He was raised up on the cross. But it also is the understanding that if we will lift up Jesus, He will draw people to Himself. Let us exalt Him. Let us lift Him up. Let us magnify Him in front of the people around us. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Man. David, again, remember where he's at. Remember what he's came through. He said, in that time, I sought the Lord and He heard me. We know that when we are seeking God, when we are truly seeking God, like David is talking about here, when he sought the Lord, it's not like, well, you know, I was just going along and I just hollered out to God. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about, well, you know, I'm talking about things and God can hear everything. God knows everything, so He can hear what I'm saying. That's not what we're talking about. It says, I sought the Lord. You know, there's parables in the New Testament of the sheep when the shepherds sought the one and the woman swept the floor for the coin and they sought that coin or they sought that sheep until they found it. David says, I sought the Lord and He heard me. He heard Him because his heart's desire was to find God. When our heart's desire, like Stacy was saying earlier, when we seek the Lord, He is faithful. He is going to hear us when we're seeking His will, when we're praying His will. David says here, I sought the Lord and He heard me. And He delivered me from all my fears. You know, a lot of times people don't want to preach on verses like this because it says, well, you know, He delivered me from all my fears. Well, He hasn't delivered me from everything I've went through, but He's delivered me from all my fears. The one fear that pretty much every person on the face of the earth had at one point is the fear of death. He has delivered me from that. Because I know when I take my last breath or when that eastern sky splits, I don't have to worry about it anymore. But He's delivered me from all my fears when my focus is on Him. If my focus is on the troubles that I have in life, if my focus is on the breakdowns that I have, then those fears are going to be overcoming. But if I seek the Lord, He will deliver me. Because I will know that in the presence of Him. Now, like we talked about in Bible study, doesn't mean everything's going to turn out good. James is in prison. His head gets cut off. Peter is in prison and angels deliver him. But both men were delivered. Just God delivers in different ways. But He can deliver us from our fears even in the midst of that storm. Even in the midst of the problems I have, I don't have to fear because the Lord is with me. When I seek Him, He hears me. His will be done. It says they looked to Him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. He's talking here about those people that are going to seek the Lord. And it's kind of a reference back to Moses. When Moses was with God, he became radiant. And they looked to Him. Moses looked to Him. When we look to Him, it changes who we are. It transforms us. When I seek God, when I know He hears me, when I realize I have nothing to fear because of my relationship with God, when that happens, it changes my aura. It changes my personality. It changes my talk. It changes my walk. It changes everything. And to the world, they notice. And my face does not need to be ashamed. So they will look at us and they will see that we are changed. We are radiant. And that our faces are not ashamed because we're standing. 6, it says, this poor man cried out. And again, that goes back to that same idea of the humble earlier. the person that is poor in spirit, that is humble of heart, that just doesn't know. When he cries out, the Lord will hear him. That poor man is that afflicted man. It's that understanding that when that person that's afflicted, when they're in that pain, if they will cry out to the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. You know, the only way you can be saved out of all your troubles is to be saved. The only way you can have peace is to have the peace that passes all understanding. It comes from God Himself. We can still have troubles, but the only way we can be saved from all of our troubles is by that saving grace of Jesus Christ. It goes on, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. The angel of the Lord is talked about in the Old Testament several different places. Some people want to say that it is just an idea or an understanding of a personal protective angel, a guardian angel, if you would. That's not what this is talking about. That this has nothing to do with that. This is talking about the presence of Almighty God, the pre-incarnate Jesus, if you will, that was in the fiery furnace or in the lion's den. When it says He encamps all around us, we kind of put in our mind and understand when Elijah was saying, hey, telling his servant, look up into the hills, and it was filled with fiery chariots. They were encamped around him. Some people want to say that's this, and it may well be, but I believe it's more of an understanding that the angel of the Lord encamps all around me. God, because of the Holy Spirit, encamps all around those who fear Him, those who have an awe of Him, those who respect Him, those who acknowledge who He is, what He's done, what He can do, and what He will do. The understanding of who God is, the angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, encamps around us and delivers them. Again, it goes back to He delivers. You know, when we call and we order food or something like that, they deliver to us. Do you get what you want all the time? No. You've ordered what you wanted delivered, and it doesn't necessarily get there the way you want it. It may be cold, it may be smashed, it may be something different. Because we deliver it, or we call for the delivery. Here says, around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. He delivers what He wants, how He wants, when He wants. Man, sometimes I wish God had the same watch I do. Because I pray for something to happen, and it's just like, okay, God, any time now. I show 6:42, God, it should be happening any time. God doesn't have the same watch I have. He delivers in His way, in His timing, for His glory, not mine. Verse 8. Again, another invitation here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Man, I could go all night on just that one part of that verse. Because how can that happen? David's saying, just get a sample of what I tasted. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We were coming back the other day from a training thing, and a couple of the guys in the car were talking about, I don't know if you've been to Bucky's, the big place down by Stratford, and they were talking about this sandwich, and one was saying, man, I had this triple meat sandwich that had this mustard sauce on it, and it was amazing. And the other guy's like, well, I had this kind of a club-like sandwich, and it had this sauce. And before we knew it, they had come from two different angles talking about the same sandwich. And I'm dying back there thinking, man, that sounds really good. And I had never had it. But they're like, man, if you just taste this sandwich, you would see how good it is. So yesterday I went and tasted that sandwich. And it was really good. But I probably would not have done that had those two guys not talked about that sandwich and told me how good it was? There are so many people out there that have not tasted Jesus because I haven't told them how good He is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to invite them. We need to tell them about the experience that we've had, how we've tasted, how we've seen, and we want them to taste, and we want them to see personally how good the Lord is. For blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Now that doesn't mean financial blessings and material blessings. It means heart blessings. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in God, because then everything is in God's hands. And everything that's in God's hands will be blessed. 9, he says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him." As he talks about this, he's saying, we need to have that fear of the Lord, that awe of God, His saints. He's not talking about people that don't know God needing to fear judgment. He's saying, "Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. There is no want. Respect Him. Have that awe of Him, because there is no want to those who fear Him, to those who respect Him, to those who acknowledge who He is. You have no want." Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You will have no want when you seek Him. When you fear Him, when you put Him first, there is no want. Now, there's a lot of things I'd like to have. There's a lot of things I think I need. There's a lot of things I want. But this want is not described in that way. When you translate it, it's talking about there is no need for those who fear Him. He supplies all of our needs. Verse 10 says, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." You know, David, in that time, and we don't think about it a lot, but lions were roaming around. And he's talking about lion cubs here. Young lions, if mom or the male hasn't went out and killed something and brought it in or brought them to it, then they would hunger, and they would suffer hunger, and they would have to do something to get to that point. Someone else would have to feed them because they were young. They could not go out and kill something on their own. So they would suffer hunger until mom or the males in the pride would kill something. They depended on someone else to go out and hunt for them. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I don't have to worry about somebody else going out and to supply for me. I don't have to worry about, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Am I going to find what I have to have to get by? Because God, the Lord God, supplies everything. And it says, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Verse 11, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." This is the quote. David quotes this from another passage. And as he says this, he is telling them, children, you need to listen to me. He's not talking down to them like a parent to a child, but he's talking down to them in love and respect, that they need to listen. And I'm going to explain to you what it means to fear the Lord. I'm going to explain to you what it means, where you need to be going. And he says, who is the man who desires life and love many days, that he may see good? Are we seeking those days? There were people that were just getting by. There were people that just living and they were just getting by. David says, if you desire life and you want to see good days, then this is what you do. You keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. How is that possible? You and I, if we want to have that life that God has for us, boy, this sounds like this is what we're supposed to do, verse 13 and 14. You know, don't say anything bad. Don't be speaking deceit. Don't be lying. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That should seem so easy. Well, let me rephrase this. Psalm 119:11. How can a young man keep his way pure? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It comes down to taking God's word into our heart. That's the way we're going to be able to do these things, because we know that James tells us that the tongue is set on fire by hell. The tongue is evil, and the only way to take care of that is by God's power, by God's grace, through God's word in us, putting enough good in there that it flushes out the evil, to keep our lips from deceit, to depart. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You got to do some things on your own, because that's what he's calling us to do. You only do it through the power of God, but you have to depart evil. I can't walk in evil. I can't walk in the dust and assume it's not going to collect to me. I have to depart from it and purposely do good. I have to seek peace and pursue it. Too many times we as Christians just assume everything's going to fall into place. And I've talked to people and, you know, I thought things were going to get easier when I accepted Christ. Man, I don't know who you talked to beforehand. But we have to do good. We have to seek peace. We have to pursue it. When you pursue something, it takes effort. You have to run it down sometimes. You have to really want it. God wants to know if we really want it. And sometimes, by the amount of pursuit I put into Bible study, He might be saying, you don't want it very bad. And there are times that He might say, you're not seeking peace. You're a peaceful guy. But when somebody gets in your face, are you seeking peace? Are you trying to have a peaceful outcome? Are you seeking peace? Well, God, they did it for... Doesn't matter. Seek peace and pursue it. Do good. And that's how he tells them. He says, if a man wants to desire life and love many days, that he may see good. Live up to 13 and 14. And that only comes by a relationship with God. We go into 15 here. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And those are that are in right standing with God, the eyes of the Lord are on, the eyes of the Lord are on everybody. So what he's talking about here is the eyes of the Lord, the desire when I see my kids, I want them to do good, I want them to experience good. My eyes watch them in hopes that everything will turn out well for them. The eyes of God are on the righteous. He desires what's best for us. He's watching us. He's watching us with an intent and with a love and with a desire to supply for us when we call and to hear from us when we cry. That's His eyes that are upon us. But we can't overlook the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Nobody in here is going to do evil, right? Sin is evil. God is against sin. There you go, Mr. Ford. He's always saying Steve preached and he preached about sin and he was kind of against it. There you go. That's what he's talking about here. It says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So I can either desire if I'm living that righteous life and that life that's in right standing with God, and I'm not talking salvation here, I'm talking about my daily walk. If my daily walk is in the way of the Lord, in the right standing with Him, and I'm doing the things that He's calling me to do, yes, I'm going to mess up. But those people that are claiming to be Christians, that are walking in sin, have unconfessed sin in their life, and they're okay with it, they need to understand that the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Well, if I do enough good, then He won't be against me. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God hates evil. Sin is evil. God hates sin. I don't know how else to put it, but how the Word of God puts it. And He is against it. There you go. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. This last part of this verse, it goes a little more in depth. It's talking more about that eternal judgment. He says to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. There is a time when God will cut off the remembrance of those who choose evil over choosing righteousness. At the end, at that final great white throne judgment, He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. He will cut off their remembrance from the earth. We're going to go ahead and close right there. Tonight, I know there's just a few verses, but there's so much in those that we would never get done. And so let's go ahead and let's close in prayer. Father God in heaven, we thank You and praise You for this time that we could open Your Word. Lord, help us to see how we should live. Give us Your Spirit to empower us to be what You've called us to be. Lord, may we honor You. May we brag about You. May we praise You. May we bless You. And Lord, if we all do that every day with every breath, it's still not what You deserve. Still falls short of what You deserve. Lord, may we seek to honor You. In Your name we pray. Amen.